This is an in-between-isode of the All Things Risk podcast. Welcome and welcome back to the All Things Risk podcast. My name is Ben Cattaneo, your host. This is my show. It's a side gig. It's a labor of love. It's an excuse that I use to have interesting conversations with fascinating people. And what I do is I use the themes of risk, resilience, randomness, uncertainty to explore all aspects of life, things like sport, the arts, culture, poetry, writing, all kinds of things. However, from time to time, I do one of these. These are what I call in-between-isodes. They are shorter episodes where I might explore a topic very quickly or provide you with some tools, some things to ponder, that kind of a thing. Today, I wanted to talk about terrorism, actually, but I wanted to go back and touch on my last full episode, my conversation with Robert Earl Stewart. He and I created a game, basically, that was a world within a world. And in that game, die rolls, rolls of the dice, determined different outcomes and what would happen and the storylines around the game and all kinds of things. And for me, this opened up the realization that this multiplicity of random variables interacting is what kind of gives life to life. The uncertainty created by all this randomness makes us wonder, makes us interested, and makes us engaged. So I wanted to build on this theme of randomness and probabilities and the fact that, look, sometimes we may know what's going to happen. Sometimes we don't know at all. And sometimes we have an understanding of the probabilities of what might happen in various guises. So I wanted to use this lens to talk a little bit about terrorism. So I wanted to segue into that topic and really ask the question, you know, how much should we worry about terrorism, particularly if we live in the West? Terrorism is in the news constantly. We worry about it. And I will get into it, but before I do that, I wanted to draw on a conversation that I recently listened to, and I'll put the link in the show notes. It's between two super heavyweights, what I consider to be super heavyweights intellectually and also of the podcast world. Conversation between Sam Harris and Dan Carlin. That was last summer. It was a crosscast. Again, I'll put the link in the show notes. Sam Harris, if you don't know, he is an author, a neuroscientist, a philosopher. He's the author of a book called Waking Up, podcast host of the podcast of the same name. Dan Carlin is the host of Dan Carlin's Hardcore History. Dan Carlin is basically the history teacher that we wish we all had in the 10th grade. He puts a lot of the drama into historical events. And a friend of mine described him also as a boys historian because he likes to put a lot of the blood and guts into history. And but he's a wonderful storyteller and brings things to life. So they have this great conversation. They talk about the war on terror. They talk about American intervention. They're both Americans, by the way. And the whole conversation is pure gold. I encourage you to listen to it. But there's a part in the conversation that I was really drawn towards when Dan talks about the threat level that we face, and he puts it into some historical context, and it's just fabulous. So what I wanted to do is just play that first and then come back to this question about probabilities and terrorism. So here goes.
One at a time. This is a perception thing. As a history nut, and I'm sure you know this, but I'm just going to throw it out there. There is no way on earth you could say that we are not magnitudes of order safer than we were than when I was growing up. And I mean magnitudes of order. I try to explain to people that try to give me their worst case scenario for a terrorist, and they're going to smuggle some nuclear device into some U.S. harbor or something, maybe kill a million people. And I try to point out that we had tens of thousands, we still probably do, nuclear weapons aimed at this country on hair trigger alert all the time. We did disaster drills in our schools growing up. We had several near misses. Go read anything from the Eisenhower administration and you will, you know, crap your pants. I mean, it is. My point is this attitude that we are threatened as never before is not just wrong, it's manifestly wrong.
So I grew up in Canada for the most of my youth, formative years. I certainly do remember the Soviet threat. Anyone who grew up in, say, Western Europe at the time or the United States would certainly remember the same thing. And I wanted to now talk about, well, what the odds are telling us and what the probabilities are telling us about whether or not we should be worried about terrorism. And before I do that, I wanted to offer three caveats. The first is I do not want, or my intention here is not to gloss over the brutality of terrorist attacks, whether they are from ISIS or going back to 9/11, Al-Qaeda or the IRA or any other group. The focus at the moment, of course, is Islamic fundamentalist Islamic groups, ISIS, Daesh, as we know it. Other groups are in the mix. I did not want to gloss over any of that. The recent attacks in Paris, in Brussels, Ankara, Beirut, or a number of other places are certainly brutal. They're reprehensible, and I don't know how human beings can do these kinds of things to one another. My intention here is not to gloss over any of that. My second caveat is I'm not making a political statement about foreign policy or whether or not we should bomb ISIS or a moral argument here at all. And the third caveat is that if you live in certain countries, Egypt, for example, Pakistan, Indonesia, many other places, the chances of being killed in a terror attack are a lot higher than what they might be in Western Europe or North America, Australia, Japan, or China, and many other places. I'd simply want to address the question or explore the question, how much should we as individuals, primarily in the West, be worried about terrorism? And the answer to that, if you probably followed along by now, is not much at all. What do some of the statistics tell us? Well, I've got a set of statistics in front of me, both from different sources, looking at the risk of a terrorist attack in the US, also in the UK, and they do vary, but they're incredibly low, and I think what's useful is to compare these to other things that we might die of. So in the United States, we've got two extremes here. One says that the chances of you dying in a terrorist attack is 1 in 80,000. That's the high end. The lower end is 1 in 20 million. Yep, 20 million. In the UK, that number is 1 in 9.8 million. So 1 in nearly 10 million. Chance of dying in a terror attack. In the United States, or Americans, I shouldn't just say in the United States, there have been 45 deaths from international terrorism since 9/11, 3.2 per year at the time that these statistics were compiled. What is higher than that in terms of probability? Well, a number of things, just about everything, it looks like. Fires caused by Christmas trees in the United States, higher odds of dying in a fire caused by a Christmas tree than international terror attack. Cows kill approximately 20 people per year in the United States. Televisions, 176 deaths per year, 55 times more likely than dying in a terror attack. In the UK, One in 5 million chance of being of dying by being scalded by hot water. So that's two times more likely than a terror attack. One in a 4.4 million chance that a left-hander will die by using a right-handed product in the UK. Again, higher chance of death than terrorism. A one in 2.3 million chance of falling off of a ladder in the UK. Again, much higher chance of that than dying in a terror attack. Painkillers. A few other things. Falling out of bed. Dying from food poisoning. Right? So we get the picture. Now let's get on to the serious stuff. Road accidents. One in 108 chance of dying in the U.S. One out of 108 of dying in your lifetime from a road accident. In the U.K., similar figures. Intentional self-harm, one in 106. Respiratory disease, one out of 28. Cancer, one out of 7 in the US, it's one out of 5 in the UK. Heart disease, one out of 7. What are we worried about? I mean, seriously, what are we worried about? The things that we should be worried about, taking care of ourselves, taking care of each other, taking care of our bodies, we need to spend a lot more time on than terror attacks. Terrorism really aims, obviously, to strike fear in us, and fear is certainly a powerful emotion. We talk a lot about fear in a number of the long-form interviews that I do. It's an interesting emotion. There are some things that fear is very useful for, so fleeing violence, for example. But there are a number of things that we shouldn't be doing under the influence of fear. I think policymaking is one of them. It's interesting to note that things like heart disease, cancer, diabetes, these are all lifestyle diseases. These are things that can be mitigated through our own lifestyle choices and things that we care to put our attention and our actions towards. So, folks, with that, I'm going to end it here because I'm going to go for a run. That's it for now. We'll speak soon. In the interim, don't forget, risk is life.